Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is September 17th. Episode 242, and I was just listening to the song as we were playing it, and I thought, you know, we are going to talk a little bit about politics today, maybe more than usual.
Politics, as it relates to how we should be reacting to what we see in the news and how we should ordain our Constitution of this United States and how it has been usurped.
Yes, and since it is September the 17th, which is Constitution Day, it was a perfect fit.
Yes. Oh, and, you know, we'll be shot for this, but that's okay.
Oh, I don't think so. I think people are more than ready to hear this kind of conversation, and I'll tell you why. I've had so much experience lately posting things on Facebook about the Constitution and about constitutional rights, and I put that in air quotes here, folks, because we're going to explain what we mean by that in a minute. And I just got a wealth of feedback, everything from agreement to my ideas to taking it a step farther to questioning whether those ideas are sound. It's really been a good conversation. So before we get to that, we want to talk about a little bit of the history of Constitution Day, how it came about, and Krista Walker, who writes for us, has written a great article in this month's issue.
And it being Constitution Day, it does have a history, and its origins are important to understand. Krista goes on to write, in 1917, the Sons of the American Revolution created a committee to promote Constitution Day, originally celebrated by Iowa public schools circa 1911. Members of this committee included General John Pershing, future President Calvin Coolidge, John D. Rockefeller, among others. Like many American national holidays, Constitution Day has slowly evolved from many different ideas to become what we know today. Constitution Day seemed to have faded out for a while, and instead, in the 1930s and 40s, Americans celebrated I Am an American Day. This day was actually celebrated on the third Sunday of May until 1952, when Congress moved the observation date to September 17th and renamed it Citizenship Day. In the 1950s, as Ohio homemaker Olga Weber realized that Americans were taking their freedoms for granted, she began petitioning her town of Louisville for a week-long Constitution festival. In 1952, Mayor Rosemary proclaimed September 17th Constitution Day, but Olga didn't stop there. Next, she went to her state legislature, which created a statewide holiday, and finally, tenacious in her cause, she went to the U.S. Senate. In 1955, President Eisenhower signed the bill officially recognizing September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week. At this time, September 17th was still Citizenship Day, but it was now a part of a week-long Constitution Week. In 2004, fearing that the Constitution was no longer being taught to students, a provision was placed into the omnibus spending bill, which stipulated that all schools receiving federal funds must teach about the Constitution on September 17th. The holiday was also finally officially renamed Constitution Day. So,
And so Krista gives that history on page, what is that, Don?
Seven.
Page seven in the September issue. If you've got a copy in hand, you know, check that out. If you don't, you can go to owlcreekgazette.com.
You could have read along with me.
You could, maybe they did, Don. Who knows? But she goes on to have a voices and opinion about why we need to know what the Constitution says, and we'll get back to that before the show's over. But coincidentally, I had written something and posted on Facebook and wasn't even thinking about Constitution Day at the time.
Yeah.
I was just so fed up with hearing newscasters and reporters and politicians refer to our constitutional rights, which there are no such thing as constitutional rights. Our rights are not derived from the Constitution, but from property and our inalienable rights. And they also call us a democracy, and we're not. We're a republic. So it's never ending. And I used to be guilty of saying we are a democracy. I used to be guilty of saying the same thing, we have constitutional rights, until I learned differently.
So what is a democracy?
Well,
it's two wolves and one sheep deciding on dinner plans.
Exactly. And you don't want to be the sheep
yeah.
in that scenario. But what I posted on Facebook is the following. I think if I hear one more journalist or politician say the United States is a democracy, or one more journalist or politician say the phrase, our constitutional rights, I'm going to scream. Don, you can vouch for me here. I have already screamed.
She screams at the TV all the time, too, folks.
We are not a democracy. We are a republic. Additionally, there is no such thing as constitutional rights. The Constitution does not, in fact, cannot grant us rights. We are born with our rights. They are inalienable. The Constitution limits government, defining its size and scope, while enumerating and protecting our rights. Why do journalists and politicians to continue to do this and say this, get this so very wrong? Well, right off the bat, I had people telling me why. And it's they're uneducated, they're unschooled, they have a different agenda. I mean, everybody had an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would express themselves on the comment section, and we really got some good feedback.
Yeah.
So we think we'll read some of those. What do you think?
Well, I think so. But what is a republic, though?
Okay.
What is a republic? What is a democracy? And what's the point? If we are not a democracy, you know, that's part of what you're saying. A democracy, was like I said earlier, is a pure democracy is majority rules.
Right, and you do not want to be the minority in that scenario.
Absolutely.
Where our founders wanted to make sure the minority's voice was protected and equally respected.
And that's what a representative republic is, and uh-huh. that's what we are. We elect representatives, and we expect that those representatives will voice our opinions for us and protect the minority in everything they do.
Uh-huh.
And so just to go back to Webster, for example, our Constitution created a limited representative republic. A republic is different from a democracy. In a democracy, the majority can directly make laws, while in a republic, elected representatives make laws. Basically, in a pure democracy, the majority has unlimited power, whereas in a republic, a written constitution limits the majority and provides safeguards for the individual and the minorities. We are a republic. You know, that's what we are. Stop calling us a democracy. In this republic, we use a democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from what they deem a supermajority in order to pass some things, like having more than 50%, because they're making sure, you know, it's important to realize that we are not a democracy. So stop calling it that, damn it.
Well, and it makes a big difference. I had a friend of ours, we were engaged in this conversation, and he kept referring to us as a democracy. And I said to him, but we aren't. And he said, oh, that's just, I said, we're a republic. And he said, that's just semantics. And I said, no, it isn't. And I gave him the two sheep and a wolf scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, two wolves and a sheep.
They wish it's that way.
Yeah. And I said, now, you wouldn't want to be the sheep, would you? And it dawned on him for the first time. You could see a light bulb go off. It was like, got it. So it isn't semantics. It's really important to all of us that we understand. And Krista goes and mentions that in her article that mm-hmm. you have to know the rule book, the playbook, or how can you expect to understand when you're being stepped on or abused, or the rules are being applied only to certain people and not for you? If you don't know the rules, you can't play the game.
So are they teaching the Constitution tomorrow or Friday at Greenville Elementary School?
I don't know, but it would be interesting to see if they are teaching it anywhere. Not just here, but anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I know that when I think back on my high school and junior high days, and even in college, if you have a good history teacher, that's one of the most eye-opening classes and conversations you can have. And I was fortunate to have several good history teachers. And I don't know that they actually came out and said to me, we are not a democratic, I mean, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But in that conversation, in that room, in that setting, we were free to express our opinions and back them up with some sort of, logical explanation. Mm-hmm. And so if we can practice reason and logic and discourse and debate and dissent, something that I talk about often, which the Constitution would advocate the right to do that, and you do that in a school setting, that's a perfect example of what the Constitution protects. And that's what we talk about, too. Don't say constitutional rights, but if you say constitutionally protected rights...
That's a different story altogether.
Or constitutionally enumerated rights, that's valid.
Yeah.
But to just say constitutional rights, it gives the Constitution powers it does not have.
And, you know, the Ninth Amendment is what delineates or what says that what is not enumerated in this Constitution, the rights are remained and held by the people.
Right.
So the Ninth Amendment is probably one of the more important overlooked amendments, but nonetheless, that Ninth Amendment is talking about other rights that are enumerated, and nowhere else in the Constitution except in the Bill of Rights are individual rights protected. The rest of the Constitution is about how government is supposed to operate.
Right.
The Bill of Rights, on the other hand, starts out with Congress shall make no law.
Mm-hmm.
And virtually every amendment thereon starts out with Congress shall make no law, which means the right is not granted by the Constitution, but protected by the Constitution. An individual right is actually protected rather than granted. A constitutional right is a fallacy, because in that Bill of Rights and in the amendments, it is stopping Congress from making a law abridging,
right,
which is completely different than actually granting.
Exactly.
That's how it's enumerated. That's how it is magnified.
Mm-hmm.
In the First Amendment, there are five basic tenets that are protected. And of those is religion, speech, freedom of the press, the right to assemble, and the right to petition for redress of grievances.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all-encompassing in one amendment that Congress shall make no law. Now, yes, indeed, other pieces of the Bill of Rights do not start out with Congress shall make no law, but they reflect directly at what Congress cannot do.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's you can't get any closer, any more basic than that. And
well,
no matter what some highfalutin constitutional lawyer may tell you, it's BS, because it says it in plain English. It was written in plain English, and it didn't mean anything other than the plain English it was written in.
Right. And to bring this current up to date, when you're talking about those five things in the First Amendment, and I think of the right to assemble, we've just seen so much going on in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that at one point they wanted to close down a section where people were gathering, and they said that they were going to do this because they didn't have any right. They hadn't gotten permission to assemble.
And they don't need permission to assemble.
I was like, ding, 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 ding. Isn't this the first thing we learned at school?
Yeah. And people create laws that they have to abide by in order to control people, but you do not have to have a permit to assemble, as long as that assembly is peaceful. That's the key.
Right.
Keep it peaceful, there's no problem.
Right.
And
but you may find, and I even know that if you're going to have a large group meeting, or if you're going to have a parade, in a lot of communities you have to get permission. Now, I say that again with quotes, because constitutionally, obviously, that right would be protected to assemble peacefully.
Right.
But
now, if I decide to create a protest of some nature and I block traffic, I'm breaking the law. Therefore, it is not peaceable. Mm-hmm. So I can't do that. You can't break laws in your protest, and you have to do it peaceably. Mm-hmm. You can't throw bricks. Mm-hmm. When you throw bricks, you're going to get tear gassed, and you're going to get arrested. That's the way it works.
Well, and if you're following the Constitution, and if you understand the non-aggression principle, and you understand property rights, you would know better than to harm someone else's property in that process anyway. And property includes body. I mean, you can't harm someone's body. You can't harm their car. You can't harm their house. So circling back to the conversations that I said we were engaged in on Facebook, and when I had said we are not a democracy and there's no such thing as constitutional rights, why on earth do politicians and journalists and reporters insist on saying that? And some of the answers were right off the bat, because it's what the state had taught them. And I think the state, meaning state schools, did in fact teach them that, whether intentionally or whether that's the way the program, the books, however it's presented, they just follow suit. It needs to be someone stands up and says, wait a minute, there's more to this story.
Yeah,
the story
they are
behind
government
this story.
Schools.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you and I have always said. When we call them government schools, that identifies that their agenda will be one of government.
Follow the source of money. Mm-hmm. It's always that's all you have to do is follow the money. Mm-hmm. Who's paying for this? Well, I'm paying for it. No, you're not. You're paying a portion of it. The government's paying the lion's share of the school, then it's a government school.
Well, and it goes back to the idea, too, I think, that we have to remember that the teachers and the administration, just like the police and just like the senators and just like the city council and any elected or appointed person, actually works for us. We in the larger sense, pay for their salaries, and they are supposed to be public servants. Mm-hmm. And that's almost a term that's been lost to the ages, too. So I remember writing an article a long time ago about being a politician versus a public servant. Big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
And then other people go on to comment that the public school system doesn't want to raise people who think for themselves. A couple of people mentioned the same terminology, government schools, and I was happy to see them recognize that that's what it is. But I also was quick to point out, again, we go back to if you have a really good history teacher or American problems teacher or whatever, a civics teacher, which civics is almost a thing of the past if you're not careful in government
engineers?
Schools. What?
Isn't that for engineers? Civics? Civil engineers? Yeah. There you go. I'm sorry.
So we talk a little bit about the fact that there are good teachers within a bad system. And I don't, when we talk about government school, you know how everyone knows that if you've homeschooled, we really appreciate that freedom, because we wanted our kids to be able to think outside the box and do for themselves and not be inundated with philosophies and limitations that might not suit what we believe in.
Right.
But there are good teachers, fortunately, that have stayed inside that system and continue to allow for freedom of thought and expression and understanding that the Constitution is to serve, not to hinder the individual. And so I want to make sure that whenever we talk about government schools, ideally in my perfect world, it would be private schools and it would be homeschooled and it would be unschooled, and that's my preference. But as long as there are schools, we need to hold those administrations accountable, just like every politician we should hold accountable. One gentleman went on and said, while he liked what I had to say and agreed with me, the reality is something altogether different. If the Constitution is to limit government, why has government grown in such a huge, out-of-control proportion? And if it's supposed to serve us and it isn't serving us, why are we allowing it to do this? And how can we stop it?
That actually led us onto onto something on YouTube we saw this afternoon about what is actually going on with being a citizen of the United States, and how your rights are handed over, how you hand away your rights by signing contracts with the government. And therein is the where things get broken. You mm-hmm. know, if you are a citizen of this United States, then you do not need to sign a contract.
To have a driver's license, to have permission to go fishing, you know, all kinds of things. Now, you need permission to fish on someone's private lake.
That's right.
That person.
You betcha.
But, you know, otherwise, some of the things have just gotten ridiculous. And they're to limit our freedom, to limit our movement, and they're revenue generators, which you one of your favorite terms is. That's why they have speeding tickets, not to make sure people drive safely.
Right.
You know, in a perfect world where you are of good thought, you would think they do this to make sure we are all safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what did Franklin say about safety and liberties?
Well, you don't have to look very far to find out what the lack of a speed limit on the Autobahn.
Right.
Does for traffic fatalities. It has no correlation. So at some point in time, some point in your psyche, then you must realize that the purpose of traffic citations is revenue generation. That is what they call amongst themselves, among the men in blue, call that taxation by citation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
mm-hmm.
keeps the process going.
Mm-hmm.
And they're first to admit it.
Well, and it makes me think, too, when you say the old expression, you know, that we fought because we didn't like taxation without representation. I saw a meme on Facebook and said taxation with representation ain't so good either. And it does make you realize what you own and what you don't own.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got many friends here locally that are good friends that are police officers. And no doubt about it, they're, you know, they are good people. And mm-hmm. no doubt about it, across the United States, there's a certain percentage of men in blue that are not good people.
Well, it's like in anything.
Yeah.
The difference is so often if you've got someone who is stepping out of their role, they don't often carry a gun.
Yeah.
And so you do have to consider, I mean, there's good and bad in every field and every chosen profession, but they need to make sure they're always upholding their oath.
Yeah.
And I think if we would just do that, step back and say, now, wait a minute, what did I promise to do? Now, I can't do the following because that goes against my oath. Or I must do the following because I have pledged to do so. And that's at every level. That's at everything you do. If you pledge to do it, then everybody knows what you can and can't do.
Right. And those oath keepers are the ones that are good cops. You know, there's no doubt about it. They are good cops.
Well,
they understand that they are keeping their oath,
mm-hmm.
and I applaud them.
Well, and I say that same thing, too, if you're in any kind of elected position and you keep your oath. And we always say when we are looking through our choices and options, when we're trying to decide what's right and wrong and the best thing to do, we run it through our filter of the non-aggression principle. And so since we oppose the initiation of force or fraud, from person to person, from government to person, from government to government. We run every action through that and decision, and it's really, your answer becomes very easy, what you can and can't do. If it is an initiation of force or fraud, you can't do it. If it isn't, you can consider it.
Yeah. That's been a wild Constitution Day, then.
It has been, but I, before we go.
Oh my goodness.
We need to announce our lucky winner.
And drum roll for...
For the lucky winner of the Festus, Missouri Traditional Music Festival Craft Show tickets, two tickets, mind you, Richard Barth. Yay! Richard is a longtime Creekside listener, and he was one of the folks that went on and did what we suggested you do in order to get your name put in the hat.
He's the only... we are the only podcast he endorses.
Absolutely. He makes it very clear on the website, owlcreekradio.podomatic.com. That's where you're listening to this. And if you like what you hear or you have suggestions for the show, and of course, keep things polite.
Well, yeah.
We ask that you.
Drop us a line.
Yeah, exactly.
Comment.
You can go to that website, and on this specific podcast that you listen, there's a comments place. Boom.
If there's something here that ticks you off, comment about it. We're not going to wipe it out, and it's our site, you know, and if you say something stupid, we'll probably pull it off, but we won't.
We may just leave that on.
We may just leave it too.
And respond.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I wanted to say too, someone else had made some comments on Facebook, and we always talk about being civil. And of course, I'm an advocate of that. So I wrote this on a comment, and I'd like to reference it in regards to how people post on our website, but how they treat each other. I just said, personally, I've always been a fan of tact, civility, and diplomacy, presenting the truth, or a viewpoint for that matter, in a tactful, civil, diplomatic manner is a practice. I would even suggest it's an art form, one we can all learn, by the way, which allows us to be bold and firm while remaining polite and respectful.
I can't, that you can't top that.
Okay, before we close then, we are going to try to top it. With the last few lines that Krista Walker had said in her article, being that it's Constitution Day, and it kind of will round out the show for us.
You don't have to love government, and you certainly don't have to agree with everything it does, but to understand the basic principles of American government, the system under which we all live together, is to know exactly where you can draw that first line against tyranny.
Because if you don't know where the line is, you can't even know where to begin.
Right. And that was the whole reason that we decided to tell the king over there in England to take a hike.
Thanks, but no thanks.
That's Constitution Day on Creekside with Don and Jan.
And pick up a copy of the Constitution. Read it yourself. Read it to your kids. Make sure your kids are hearing about it in school. If they go to government school, if they go to private school, if they don't, make sure that you share it with them. Read the Declaration of Independence. Read the founding documents. And by the way, those founding documents, not the actual document, but the precursor as they were scratching out their written word.
You mean like the 10 presidents before Washington?
Well, yes, but what I was going to say was those documents were written on hemp.
Oh,
just
yes.
Saying. Throwing that out there for what it's worth.
All right. Y'all take care now.
Good night.